St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 that the Gentiles are without God in the world and without hope.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Now that's an amazing statement. It means that to be without God is to be without hope, and the corollary, to be with God is to have hope. Christians are marked by this. We have hope. And we have hope not only in this life, but we have hope in the life to come. Our Christian hope expands past death, past the last day, even to the resurrection of the body, the new heaven and the new earth where the righteous dwell. We have this extended horizon of hope, and we dwell under that cloud of glory.
You can meet and hear Pastor Wolfmiller making the case for Christian hope at this year's Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at IssuesETC.org.
Science is amoral. Science is a method. It is a method of determining facts. It is a method of gaining knowledge. It doesn't have a right or wrong. Science can't tell us what's right and what's wrong.
That's what we're made for. Christians live on the rough edge and confess Christ.
I think that, you know, when the Lutherans embrace homosexual practices, they find, in quotes, Lutheran reasons for doing so. They will invent their own kind of theological rationale for it.
One of the most comforting things that people find when they turn to the Psalter is that all of the turmoil in their own hearts and minds, all of the trouble in their own daily lives that they feel and experience, all of this is right there on the pages of the Bible.
Midwest turkey hunters love listening to Issues Etc. in the spring.
There is no shortage of pastors out there, congregations big and small, who claim to be hearing directly from God. But what if your pastor claims to be a prophet? And what if he's been making prophecies, big and small, and not all of them are coming true? And it's not only hit and miss, he's often wrong, or maybe always wrong. Is he a false prophet? The Bible says yes, but there are many Christians who say, no, not necessarily. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Friday afternoon, April the 30th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We'll talk about things that God is not saying. Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith will be our guest. We'll talk about critical theory, this idea that divides everyone up into ethnic groups or racial groups and into oppressors and the oppressed. Dr. Doug Grotheis of Denver Seminary will join us for that conversation. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We are going to play four sound bites for you. After you've heard all four of them, it's your turn to give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package, that's an Ad Crucem Baptism keepsake, and I Have Issues t-shirt, and the Issues Etc. pin, bumper sticker, notepad, and tote bag when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in the last half hour of the program on this Friday afternoon. Joining us for This Week in Pop Christianity, today talking about things God is not saying, Pastor Chris Roseborough, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
So we often hear in the circles of pop Christianity the scriptural adage, test the spirits. Now, we understand that to be testing everything that is said by a preacher or teacher against the standard of Holy Scripture. How do people in pop Christianity, how do they go about testing the spirits?
So they have a very loosey-goosey standard. In fact, I would note that just this past week, there was a document that was put out by charismatics, notable charismatics. And you can find it at propheticstandards.com. And they are in the process of trying to, staunch the bleeding that is taking place in many charismatic churches as a result of all the false prophecies that have been spoken, especially related to Trump. And they're trying to put some standards in place. But the standards they're putting in place are basically saying that somebody who's a prophet needs to be locally accountable and their prophecies need to be tested by quote-unquote other prophets. And so rather than testing them according to scriptures, unless they blatantly contradict the scriptures, they have to be weighed by other prophets. In fact, listen to this language from their statement. Finally, while we believe in holding prophets accountable for their words in accordance with the scriptures, we do not believe that a sincere prophet who delivers an inaccurate message is therefore a false prophet. Instead, as Jesus explained and as the Old Testament emphasized, false prophets are wolves in sheep's clothing, in contrast to true believers who might speak inaccurately. Thus, a false prophet is someone who operates under a false spirit masquerading as the Holy Spirit. We therefore recognize distinctions between a believer who gives an inaccurate prophecy, in which case they should acknowledge their error, a believer who consistently prophesies inaccurately, in which we recognize that this person is not a prophet, and a false prophet whom we recognize as a false believer, a lost soul, calling them to repent and to be saved. And so you'll note within the charismatic movement, you know, they're trying to put standards in place while avoiding the biblical standards altogether and really creating a very subjective standard for testing so-called words that come from God.
Does Scripture make any distinction like that, that there are people who are sincere, but they get it wrong sometimes, or people who are consistently wrong, and therefore you shouldn't regard them as prophets, and then false prophets? Does it make that distinction?
No, not at all. In Deuteronomy 13, we get a very clear biblical standard that anyone who says that something's going to happen in the name of God and it doesn't happen, that makes them a false prophet. That's an actual biblical standard. And then for this upcoming, we follow the three-year lectionary at Kongsvinger. The epistle text for this coming Sunday is a very interesting one when you read it in the Greek. John writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." And then he gives a doctrinal standard by which you can test to see if whether or not somebody is a true prophet or a false prophet. And I would note that in the Greek, the command, "do not believe every spirit," the pistuota in the Greek, is an imperative. And so we are commanded by God, the Holy Spirit, to not believe every spirit, but to test them. And then he notes that in, you know, towards the end of this particular pericope, that those who do not say the same things as the apostles, who contradict what the apostles have said, those are the ones who clearly are part of the group known as the false prophets. And John says there are already many of them in the church, and that they were sent by the Antichrist. And so they are doing the work of the spirit of Antichrist, which is already in the church, has been in the church for the last 2,000 years. And so the idea then is that there are a lot of competing voices out there. And when you understand what the warning is against false prophets, and there being many of them, these are people who are speaking words that are contrary or opposed to, or I would even say it's like the devil is flooding the Christian market with all of these competing voices, which are not the voice of God, for the purpose of diluting and making it difficult for people to hear the actual gospel and to hear God's word rightly taught.
So who are we going to hear from first?
Okay, so we're going to start off by going to one of the major sources within the charismatic movement for prophetic fresh words, and it's called the Elijah List. They now have a YouTube channel, and we're going to be listening as Steve Scholes is talking to a fellow by the name of Robin Bullock, who claims to be a prophet. But it's important to note, he was one of the more notable men out there who prophesied that Trump would win in November, and when that didn't happen, he prophesied again that God was going to put him in place rather than Biden, and was standing opposed to saying that God wasn't going to allow Biden to be inaugurated, and then he was. And so now we're getting, this is part of what Stephen Scholes calls his intelligence briefing. This is fresh words from God as it relates to Donald Trump.
Robin Bullock with intelligence briefing.
Hey, brother.
He is.
Yeah, so, but I'm glad to be back.
It's nice to have you. You know, a lot of our people are just chomping at the bit to hear what you have to say. Let me just ask you a general question first.
Okay.
It's not on my list. Are you encouraged about what's about to happen in the United States and around the world, or are you concerned?
I am. No, I'm not concerned. God's not concerned. And as far as anything going wrong, everything, you know, I had given a word a while back. And I don't know if you had saw this, but a lot of people may have saw it, where the Lord told me, and I relate it. He said, whatever, it's done now. Everything is settled. Whatever Donald Trump is going to do, he will decide what and when he's going to do it. And this was a few weeks ago. And that was settled. Everything is settled. I saw the page turn, so I know it's going to turn soon. But this is something I heard just the other morning, if you'd like for me to read this.
Yeah, please do.
Now, this is what I heard. It said, the Lord said, there's about to be a new sound in the earth, a sound that will destroy the strangulation sound of the current fraudulent administration.
Wow.
He said, did you think you could continue? Did you think it? What made you think it? Ah, the party of the red, he said, made you think it. Well, you should have consulted me, says the Lord, and I would have told you different. Now a new sound is coming. Some of you can be preserved if you sow the seed meat for repentance. If not, and he stopped talking, just like that.
Just like that.
Just like that. And so that's what I heard.
So, Chris, what is Bullock claiming to have heard?
That's a little nebulous, if you haven't noticed. So he's basically saying that God has recognized that the current administration is fraudulent, and that he's given Donald Trump permission to do whatever he sees fit in the days ahead, and that God is going to do something about it. The vagaries are all over the place. And he later, in that same so-called word, claimed that what needs to happen is repentance on the part of the church. Here's the thing, though. Robin Bullock, according to the standards set out in Deuteronomy 13 and 18, has already falsely prophesied the re-election of Donald Trump and his inauguration, and as such, fails to meet the biblical standard for a prophet. He is somebody that we are to recognize as one of the false prophets, the many false prophets that are in the church, and nobody should ever believe him ever again regarding anything. In fact, we shouldn't even allow him to teach Sunday school to grade school kids and make sure that we might want to actually take his flannel graph in, you know, from him, and to make sure he doesn't even do that. But the point is that what he's saying, these are not words from God, and he's the one who is standing in impenitence and refusing to acknowledge that he is a false prophet, that he's not hearing from God. And Steve Scholz, by putting him forward and saying these are the words that God is speaking right now, what he's doing is taking us away from the biblical text and where God has spoken, and leading us down the primrose path on the way to hell, because we're not listening to the real word of God. These are false words of God sent by the devil to lead us astray rather than lead us to Christ.
Can you explain, since this one has to do with an allegedly fraudulent election and all these kinds of things, which seems to be kind of an obsession among the so-called prophets, both before and after the election, why are they so, is this just a spiritual opportunism, or why are they so wound up with Donald Trump and with him winning the election?
Okay, so I can't speak for everybody. I'm going to use a broad brush, so I understand there are some people going to fall outside of this. The best way I could put it is that this is the opposite reaction to what we had in the early portion of the Trump administration, where you had people claiming on the left that the only reason why Trump won was because of some collusion as it related to Russia. And so they had this whole narrative of some kind of corruption, of fraudulent election and all this kind of stuff. And then what happened is that now the right, really kind of listening to the voices of QAnon and people like this within the charismatic movement, have come up with the polar opposite and almost a similar narrative. And the thing is that no amount of factual data will allow them to disengage from the conspiracy narrative that they've engaged in. And so as a result of it, you kind of have both extremes on the right and left doing the same things and not being able to be reined in by reality or actual biblical standards or anything like this. And so what has happened is in the charismatic movement, a lot of the folks who are still hanging on to the QAnon narratives are the ones who are engaging in and believing these false prophets to actually be speaking the truth. And I get rebuked with regular frequency on social media from folks like this saying, you just wait and see. Trump's going to be back in office. And that, I was told he would be back in office in March, and then they moved it to April. And now they've moved it back. They've moved it to, you know, a month sometime in the early fall of this year. They keep moving the goalpost. But the issue is that we're talking about a form of what's called cognitive dissonance and a refusal to bend the knee to the biblical standard and come to grips with reality.
So just to make sure we've heard Robin Bullock, he is claiming he's heard from God and God has told him that Donald Trump will somehow return to the presidency and the allegedly fraudulent presidency of Joe Biden will come to an end and that will be God's work in the earth.
Yes, that's correct.
And what happens when Robin Bullock... this time next year, his prophecy hasn't come true.
Then he'll say, well, Trump has chosen to reascend to the presidency a different route, maybe via reelection in the next coming cycle. That's the best thing I can come up with. But the one thing that is off the table is him repenting and confessing that he's a false prophet.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today, Things God Is Not Saying. We'll hear from prophetess Patricia King about the new era next. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April is a devotional resource for middle school and high school teens titled Words of Strength and Promises. Topics include addiction, anxiety, being Christian, peer pressure, sexuality, and more. Learn more about Words of Strength and Promises at IssuesETC.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. A great confirmation and graduation gift, Words of Strength and Promises, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
For your next family vacation, consider Our Beach House, a charming three-bedroom vacation rental on beautiful Siesta Key. Just off Sarasota, Florida, Siesta Key Beach, consistently voted America's best, is just 100 steps away. Whether you're watching the sunset over the Gulf of Mexico or frolicking in the warm surf, you and your family will fall in love with Siesta Key. Check us out at SiestaKeyRentalGenie.com or call Virginia at 941-266-1858.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Pastor Chris Roseborough. It's This Week in Pop Christianity, today, Things God Is Not Saying. If you enjoy our weekly interviews with Chris, please join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. It's a small group of faithful listeners who pledge to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. monthly or annually. And when you join the Reformation Club before Pentecost Day, May 23rd, we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership premiums. For more information, visit the support donate page at IssuesETC.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter. Chris, who are we going to hear from next?
Next, we're going to hear Patricia King and Robert Hotchkin from Patricia King's television program regarding the supernatural, and her and Robert Hotchkin claiming that the prophets are all saying that we've entered into a new era.
Welcome to Supernatural Life. My name's Patricia King, and I'm going to serve you as your host on today's program as we talk about a very prophetic subject, actually, because we have entered a new era, and we have been living in this era, and God has things to say about this era that we're going to explore today. And with me, I have my co-host, Robert Hotchkin, who is the founder of Men on the Front Lines and one of my key leaders in our ministry, and I'm so happy to have you with us today because we've been running with this message for a while.
Yes, because, you know, we know we've entered a new year. We know we've come into a new decade, but God's making it very clear through so many prophetic voices that we've actually entered a new era. And that's part of the prophetic, discerning the times. But it's not just discerning the times so we can say, look at what we know. It's discerning the times so we can cast the vision so everybody in the body can be a part of it. Because in a new era, God has new opportunities. And that's not just for the prophetic voices. It's for all believers. It's for you.
That's right. And it's important that we learn to discern the times, just like the sons of Issachar. We have the ability to do that. And that's what we're going to do today, is to try to unpack it a little bit. Now, an era is a number of years combined that carry a certain specific characteristic that defines them. Mm-hmm. And so if we're coming into a new era, that means we've just come out of an era. So what is that era that we've just come out of? Because to rightly discern the era that we're going to live in, we need to glean from and learn from the era we've just come out of. And so over the last 70 years, especially from 1950 through to the year 2020, let's say, there's been certain characteristics within that period of time, within that 70 years, that marked a certain flow of God that is now changing.
Right.
It's going to be different.
Yeah. Well, and what's important is we want to look at what God has been doing, where he's been. But even though we're coming into a new era, we're not only learning about what he's done, but everything is always available to us. So I think for the church, we're kind of in a moment right now, like Mary in John 20, where Jesus says to her, once she realized he's no longer rabbi, he's actually the risen victorious Lord. He says, don't cling to me because I have not yet ascended to my Father. He's not saying don't smother me. He's saying don't so hold on to what you know to me. I can't bring you into what I have for you. And then he launches her out into the new era, a preaching ministry, activating the disciples. But for us in the church right now, I believe Jesus is saying, you never lose what you've had of me.
Right.
Look at the past. See what I've been doing. I'm still doing that, but I want to add something to it. Don't get so attached to what I've done that you won't help. You won't let me bring you into what I have for you now.
There's a lot to deal with there, Chris. So let's start out with the new alleged prophets. Where did they get this definition of eras? I don't find that in the Bible.
I don't either. And so the idea here is that what the so-called prophets of today claim is the reason for their existence is that God is speaking to them what is coming in the future or is now in the present so that we can then align ourselves with what God is doing in the earth. That's the primary objective here. And so you'll note Robert Hotchkin said that the prophets are declaring that we are in a new era. So they're letting everybody know the prophets have said this. And then they referenced a text that that is oftentimes used in this capacity. It's from 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. And here's all it says. Issachar, of Issachar, men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, 200 chiefs and all of their kinsmen under their command. So here you've got that verse, and that was a reference then to Issachar, who supposedly knew, understood times and seasons. That's what they're claiming for today's prophets. They understand the times that we're in so that they can then communicate to the church what it is that we need to do, and it's really kind of vague. But the real kicker here, where you can definitely see that what is being spoken is not from God, is how Robert Hotchkin handled one of the eyewitness accounts as it relates to the resurrection of Jesus. Rather than looking at the text where Mary, she sees the risen Lord at the tomb, and Jesus says to her, stop clinging to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, that he takes this text and says, just like Mary had to embrace the new era, the thingy that God was preparing and hadn't quite been released into the earth, so we need to do the same. same thing. So what he's doing here is using this text then to sign, kind of make it a proof text for the prophecies regarding the current new era, and that what Mary needed to do in that moment is the thing we need to do right now. But when you read it in context, that text is only about the risen Christ and the eyewitness accounts and the eyewitness experiences of those people who saw and spoke to and touched the risen Jesus. And it's all, and these things are written so that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ. So when somebody takes a passage like that, a really core text as it relates to Christ, hijacks it, rips it out of context, and then misappropriates it for the purpose of making it look like this is a principle that's taught in Scripture, and of course, duh, that means we're now in a new era and we have to embrace it the way Mary did, you can know for certainty you're dealing with a false prophet because they've completely mishandled God's word.
He said, cast the vision. Remind us of what that's supposed to mean.
Right. So that's language that is used in today's seeker-driven churches. And the idea then is that they eschew the biblical office of pastor, and they've replaced the pastor with a vision-casting leader. Vision-casting leader is somebody who is prophetic in and of himself, or has become worthy of receiving direct revelation from God. He receives direct revelation from God of what God wants to accomplish in a particular region, and then he then casts that vision, and in other words, shares the prophecy with his leadership team, whose responsibility is to make it happen. And that, here you can hear that idea again put out in a charismatic prophetic sense. God speaks to the prophets, tells them what he's doing or what he's about to do. They have to cast the vision to people so that they can get the intel as to what God is up to, so that they can then jump on the opportunities that exist in the current era or season or whatever, and be on board and participate in the thing that God is presently doing in the earth, rather than being connected to what he's done in the past.
So one other question on their little interchange, and that is, she's just kind of arbitrarily declared that 1950 through, oh, let's just say 2020, is this old era, that, and the new era has begun, apparently, with the turning of the calendar year, which is odd. I didn't know God kept time that way. But that being said, is it any coincidence that it just happens to coincide with the changing of a presidential administration?
No, and I think it might even, you know, be coincidental that it also falls at the same time when we, you know, the world was in a major upheaval because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So what they're claiming is that with this big change in the administration and in the way the world is operating, that because of that, the church has entered into a new era. And I would note that Christ himself really contradicts this kind of thinking. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, the passage that we call the Great Commission, Christ says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And therefore, he sends the church out to make disciples of all nations, baptizing, teaching all that he has commanded. And he says this, and I am with you always to the end of the age. And so we note that the church presently has standing orders to make disciples and to teach all that Christ has commanded, and we are assured that Christ will be with us until he returns, where then we will see him face to face, which means that the standing orders of the church and how the church is to operate is dictated by Christ, and those standing orders stand until the end of the age, and there is no changing of eras or arbitrary things like this that we need to somehow be listening to prophets. The church has the same job to do today as it was given by Christ 2,000 years ago. Nothing has changed.
We're talking with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith about Things God Is Not Saying. I'm Todd Wilkin. Some of the authors of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, Words of Strength and Promise, are Issues Etc. regular guests: Heath Curtis, Christopher Eskett, Matthew Richard, Heather Roosh, and Trevor Sutton. It's a great resource for youth, for teens. Words of Strength and Promise. It would also make a great confirmation or eighth grade graduation gift. You'll find it at our website, issuesztc.org. It's on every page of the website. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order Words of Strength and Promise. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April. On the other side of the break, Robin Bullock, another prophetess. Just all right, roar, yeah. Jesus, Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club during the 50 days of Easter, and we'll send you Pastor Will Wheaton's new children's book, They Shall Never Perish, in addition to other membership benefits like shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran church. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program on the donate page at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
For nearly 140 years, the Lutheran Witness has taught the faith, defended it against error, and shown forth the great treasures of the Lutheran Church and biblical doctrine. We're continuing this legacy by publishing issues and articles that help you see the world from a Lutheran perspective and that teach biblical doctrine and show forth the treasures of God's Word. Visit our website to learn more and how to subscribe, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit or call 218-724-2500.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. First Bethlehem Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Cupertino, California. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawnee, Wisconsin. St. Paul Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. And Zion Lutheran, Dexter, Iowa. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
You mentioned postmodern biblical scholarship. To become a published scholar, you've got to find something new to say. And sometimes the more provocative, the better.
When you hear the sappy music, that's the cue for the Holy Spirit to now descend upon people in the audience to meet them where they're at so that they can make a decision.
Well, we hear the word, we respond to the word with our offering. And then now what we have offered to God comes back to us in the service of the sacrament, but transformed.
This good shepherd led David in the tracks of righteousness. For the sake of his own saving name, he fulfilled all his promises, just as Christ would fulfill all of God's law for David and for us.
1 hour from now at 4:30 Central, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Those four soundbites in their entirety, we play them for you, you listen, and then you vote. 1-877-623-MY-IE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. Or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Listeners with the best votes will win the LPR bundle package. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about things that God is not saying with Pastor Chris Roseborough. Chris, who are we going to hear from in our final cut?
All right, so now we're going to do something a little bit more subtle. We're going to head to a seeker-driven church in Manchester in the United Kingdom, and we're going to listen to one of the so-called senior pastors. Her name is Sophie Barrett, which should tell you something. This is a church that is in contradiction, you know, defying the actual commands of God in the scriptures. And she is now... they've only reopened there in the United Kingdom. So this is one of their early services where people have been able to come back together in the building. And she's going to give kind of a prophetic interpretation. And it's important to note that she had a fellow from their church read out the first four verses of Joshua chapter 3, which was talking about the children of Israel as they camped on the banks of the Jordan and they were getting ready to cross the Jordan to go into the promised land. That's going to be the passage she's going to be really mixing up in this prophetic interpretation of what it is that they've been through.
This scripture has become like a friend to us at Audacious Church because it feels like since 2015, we have been declaring as a church that we, figuratively speaking, are on the banks of the Jordan River with the wilderness behind us, the promised land in front of us, the Jordan in flood. But it really feels like that we've been in a moment where we know that change is here. We know that like the Israelites, everything was about to change. That they had a way of working and the way of living in the wilderness, but coming into the promised land, they were going to have to reimagine what life was going to look like. For example, food. In the wilderness, food was brought to them by God. They found it every morning on the ground called manna. And if they were thirsty, water came from the rock. Because the man of God with his stick hit the rock and water would flow. Now, in the promised land, that was about to change, where they would have to grow their crops and they would have to have their herds, they would have to possess land and dig wells or use wells for water. It was going to be a different thing. And we felt as a church for the last 6 years that we've been living in this prophetic word that we were going to have to reimagine what church was going to be like and how it was going to work. Now, in our Wake Up series 2 years ago in 2019, we came again to this scripture, never been this way before, and we were declaring a season of supernatural growth, that God was going to supernaturally accelerate growth and expansion within the life of our church. And then we hit lockdown. But how many of you know that when everything locks down, God ramps up. He ramps up and he begins to accelerate.
Or explain that to me, Chris.
In my notes, I put down, this is total word salad. You'll note that this has nothing to do with what Joshua chapter 3 or any passage of scripture has anything to say. And this tells you then how they are not using the scriptures to hear the voice of God for real in the scriptures or rightly understand a biblical text. They do not understand how historical narratives work and the types and shadows pointing us to Christ. So they read a text and then they read themselves into that passage and declare it to be some kind of a prophetic interpretation that has something to do with what's going on in their local megachurch. And so she said that text, that for the last 6 years that Audacious Church has been prophetically camping on the banks of the Jordan River, which is in flood, that these are words that make no sense at all. It's spiritual sounding, it's biblical-ish, but what she's saying has no cash value in a right understanding of God's word. And so you'll note that this is another way that you can recognize you're not hearing God's voice when somebody takes a text like this and then completely makes it about them, and none of the details historically have any bearing, and nor is there any connection to the actual Jesus in this context, but then it becomes some kind of a weird, almost quixotic journey into the into trying to interpret and figure out the situation that we currently find ourselves in. And of course, there's interesting platitudes that when we are locked down, God accelerates. Well, that doesn't mean anything. these are words that have no meaning. So this is not, these are not words from God that she's speaking, and she shouldn't be speaking anyway in front of the congregation. God's word forbids this. And you'll note that her handling of the biblical text shows she is not at all rightly qualified to be teaching the, God's word in any capacity. These are not God's words.
I've noticed something here, and it never occurred to me before this, but I would like you to speak about it for a minute or so. And that is, under this framework where the alleged prophet speaks and interprets the Bible or makes a prophecy or whatever it may be, the average low wattage Christian is left in the position of saying, I couldn't possibly understand the Bible because I have to be a prophet to do it. I can't possibly understand my life in terms of what Scripture says because I need a prophet to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Is that the case?
Yeah, no, I think you're right, because you'll note that they take, this is one of the features I've noticed within these camps, they take the completely, perfectly understandable. When we talk about one of the attributes of God's word, we talk about its perspicuity. That means it's actually understandable. The average seventh grader reading the Bible could legitimately understand what it's all about. In fact, I think Luther talks about, you know, some peasant water boy is capable of actually knowing the Bible and would be a better biblical scholar than the Pope, who twists it all up. But what they do is they perfectly understandable, and by spiritualizing it in these ways, they make the Bible to be completely ununderstandable, and they jumble it all up, and it's this weird game that they play where everyone sits there and goes, oh, that's profound, oh, that's deep, but the person who, you know, keeps their wits about them says, that person isn't saying anything. This is like the theological version of the emperor has no clothes. They're walking around naked, and everyone's going, oh, that's the best robe ever. And some kid goes, you're not saying anything, you're naked. And they want to stone that kid. I mean, that you, I think you're right. And but what this does then is it keeps them completely under the subjugation of these false prophets, who then are the ones who are hearing from God, and they're the ones who are going to tell you what the Bible means. Forget what it actually says. And it's a form of spiritual bondage. But this is exactly the type of warfare that Scripture tells us about and warns us about in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, we see in that very famous chapter, chapter 13, that the dragon himself conjures up two beasts from the sea for the purpose of waging war against the saints. One is like a totalitarian government scheme, if you would, oppressive government that will smite Christians. But the other is false religion and false prophets. It's described in chapter 13 in terms of being the second beast. In chapter 16, it's referred to as the false prophet. And then in chapter 17, it's referred to as the whore of Babylon. And all of this is a weapon of the devil to get us to not hear the voice of God and to basically lead us astray. This is a form of warfare of the devil. And those who are listening to these people are not only not hearing God's voice, they have succumbed to one of the major forms of warfare that the devil wages against the church.
With 30 seconds, what is the pop Christian fascination with novelty? It's always a new thing, a new era, a new this, a new that.
Yeah, so they really want to believe that God is always doing a new thing. And by holding on to this concept, what they've created within the church, rather than the church being an institution and us doing the thing that the ancient church has done, believing that what the ancient church has done, the only constant in their universe is change. Anything that is kind of related to how the church did or believed in the ancient times is considered to be the old thing that God is doing. And so what they've done is they've magnified and this idea of God's always doing a new thing, and they've canonized innovation, and they've anathematized faithfulness and fidelity to God's word and to what Christ has instituted.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thanks.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to be talking critical theory with Dr. Doug Grotheis of Denver Seminary.
Truth is, I never turn away any customers. I just sometimes have to decline to create cakes that violate my faith, and that was the case in this.
Colorado baker Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop talking about his presentation at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago.
The two gentlemen that sued me were welcome in my shop that day. I told them, you know, I'll sell you cookies, brownies, birthday cakes, you know, anything else, custom cakes. It's just that I can't create this one because this is a cake that goes against the core of my faith. And they sued me. But I serve everybody who comes in the shop. They're just cakes that I can't create because of the message they portray.
You can meet and hear Jack Phillips making the case for the freedom of conscience at this year's Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. Simplyclassical.com.